helping realtors on Vancouver Island stay connected, current, and on the cutting edge. This is the Vancouver Island Real Estate Show. Here's your host, Braden Wheatcroft.
Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Braden Wheatcroft. This is the Vancouver Island Real Estate Show, and we're back, baby. After a couple weeks off in August, trying to recharge and recuperate, work on my tan a little bit, which you probably can't even notice. But anyways, that's a topic for another day. We are back here today with some valuable content just in time for your fall market. I want to introduce our guests here momentarily, but of course, I want to tell you a little bit about what we're going to talk about today. If you follow any of my content or you work inside our organization, you probably heard to me refer to this moment in time, this period between sort of mid-September to mid-November as the second spring. Now, you don't have to be analyzing graph stats for very long to realize that obviously there's a higher sales volume in the springtime than there is traditionally in the winter and in the summer, but there's also a bit of a bump up in sales activity that happens in the fall. And so it's an incredible opportunity for us to get back, sort of dust off the cobwebs, get the work routines back in place, all of those habits, you know, tune up our attitude, sharpen our skills, and get back in the trenches and start working with our buyers and sellers. So one of the people that I really look up to when it comes to really executing at a high level in the fall is my friend and colleague, Dawn Walton. Dawn has been licensed in the Nanaimo area since 2008. She currently works with RE/MAX of Nanaimo. She's got a ton of experience in the real estate industry. Even before she was licensed, she actually worked in investing in real estate and is not unfamiliar with construction. In fact, I've seen Dawn do everything from paint some listings to install baseboard and all that to get the job done. So she's got a lot of experience when it comes to construction. One of the things I love about her, she's got a client first philosophy. There's nothing that she feels like she's graduated from. She's showing homes, she's working with buyers and sellers. She's running to do land title searches, heading to the city in the Nanaimo office, making sure permits are in place. So she's really not forgotten where she's come from and all the hard work she's put in. And lastly, the thing that I love about Dawn is that she is very involved in the community. In fact, she was recognized by her peers at the Vancouver Island Real Estate Board just a few years ago by receiving the Realtor Care Award, which is a really cool accomplishment. So with all that being said, I would love to welcome Dawn Walton on today. Dawn, are you there?
I'm here.
Whoa, you are there. Hey, how are you?
I'm well. Thanks for having me.
Oh my goodness. We're so excited to have you. So first off, welcome back. How was your summer?
Great.
Okay, busy. That's enough. Let's get back to work. That's what we're here to talk about, isn't it?
It is.
It is. Okay. It's well, you know why. Pardon me?
It's not all work ever.
Okay. Fair enough. Well, we'll talk a little bit about work-life balance or whether that's real or work-life integration in a moment. But the reason, as I said in your intro, that I wanted to have you on today is because you have this ability that when you decide to put your mind to something, results tend to follow shortly after. And the story I want to set this up with is a few years ago, I remember you walked into my office. I think it was 2013, 2014, and I believe late October, early November, and you came in and you were kind of disappointed. I said, you know, what's going on? You go, well, you know, there's still a month and a half left in the year and I've already achieved my goal. And I was like, well, that's pretty cool. Congratulations. And you were wanting to reset a new goal and then get after it for the remainder of the year. And then when we talked about it, the biggest challenge you had is you were completely out of business. Like you'd helped all your buyers buy, you'd helped all your sellers sell, and your pipeline was dry. And so you went, and I want you to tell a little bit of the story about how you found this business. But I believe you ended up helping like 7 or 8 more clients find homes before the end of the year. Can you tell us a little bit about that time from your experience?
Yeah, for sure. I hate to call them people that were lost in communication, but I just went through texts, emails, phone calls, voicemails that I had saved. I'd say going back, and I still do it, but going back probably to the beginning of the year, which could be embarrassing, going, oh my gosh, did I not call these people back? And half the time you get a hold of them and they're going like, oh wow, it's so great to hear from you. And we're putting this pressure on ourselves thinking that they were waiting for us, and really, you know, they got busy with their life and whatnot. So that's something I do regularly now, as opposed to just in a big panic. But in this time of year, especially in the coming weeks, that's one thing I definitely put my foot on the gas and have dug up a ton of gold doing it that way.
Absolutely. And you know, the way you business plan, I've seen it before, like you break everything down from the year to the month to the week really well. And the result of that is that you have pretty consistent results all throughout the year. There's very few zeros on your sales board. They're pretty, you know, consistent month in, month out. But I'm just curious, let's talk about the time right now. We just got back in from summer break. Like, what's going through your mind? What's your mindset like as you refocus and look towards the last, you know, 12 weeks of the year?
I love this time. It's exciting. It's like a fresh start in a sense, but also it's like the last quarter to really kill it. So, you know, I love sports, and right now we're rounding third, and this is when we're going to hit the home run. So first quarter, second quarter, third quarter, I tend to be pretty consistent all the way through. I like to hit my goals now by Labor Day for the year. And this year I've had a bit of a shift and changed the team up and done some different things. And there's always personal and professional things going on throughout the year. So I changed my goal a little bit this year, but coming out of Labor Day, now it's time to hit for the fence. First, second, third quarter, like I say, nice and smooth. And now it's just flat out to finish the year.
Okay. So I want to drill down a little bit on that. And before we do, I just want to thank some of the people we have watching here. We've got John Cooper, a colleague of yours in Nanaimo. Apparently he's a big Don Walton fan. John, you spelled my name wrong. It's Braden Wheatcroft. But anyways, we got Andrew Russell says the hair is on point today. I think that he's talking about you, maybe me. I don't know.
I think so.
Yeah. Acknowledge Glenn Kokoski here watching upstairs for Remax Camosun. Jade Hernandez saying hello. Your fiance, Dar, is watching. That's cute. Oh. And this is just the time I want to thank, you know, everyone for tuning in, but also please ask questions of Don, because I've got some prepared questions here, but it's always better when you bring your own. So ask away and we'll make sure we put it to Don. Now, looking at the fall, you mentioned that you break things down first quarter, second quarter, third quarter. I've actually seen on your whiteboard in your office a baseball diamond drawn on there, and you like to use sports metaphors in your goal setting. Can you tell me a little bit how your strategy is different in the fall? Like you talked about, you know, you like to hit your goal by September long weekend, but like what on a tactical level is actually changing in the last couple months of the year?
I think more than anything, I have changed from November being just a big planning session for the next year. So I've tried to keep my planning and review consistent throughout the year now. So the rest of the year now, we're perfecting, we're refining the things that we started this year, you know, whether it be at Richard Robbins or different conferences we've been to, and still deciding what to implement for next year. So we need to balance time between planning and goal setting for next year, but also finishing the year strong. So if anything, we're refining any of the new kind of lead generation or our existing lead generation, but not ramping it up. In a few cases, some of our lead funnels, we've actually turned them down a little bit to make sure we're going to be really consistent and do a really great job at them to finish the year. But our database is where we're really focusing on to set up for the first quarter.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay. So we're going to touch on the setting up the first quarter later on in our conversation, but can we talk a little bit more specifically about, tell us about the next 2 to 3 weeks. Like what is going on? You know,
holidays,
activities. Like you're going on holidays?
No.
Okay. Yeah, me too. But what exactly, how do you prioritize your actions? Like what is a day in the life of Don look like in the first 2 weeks of September?
Well, we are busy. So, listing appointments, buyer appointments, and prospecting every day. So one thing that I've been for the last 3 months, making sure no matter what we're prospecting. So as a team leader, I think it's important for me right now to be setting a really good example going into the fall. We don't take our foot off the gas when, you know, November, December isn't time off for us. Mm-hmm. If we're consistent all year, we can plan and have, you know, small trips, you know, throughout the year. But I think every single day right now we're prospecting and making sure that we're consistent every day.
Okay. Well, if you don't mind, I want to deconstruct that prospecting word, because I know, you know, when some realtors hear it, it causes, you know, hives to break out, shivers down their spine, whatever. The idea of prospecting is not something that a lot of people do, or it's one of those just coachisms that we throw around, you know, got a prospect, got a lead generate. But like, when you say prospecting, what does that actually mean? Like, can you give us an example of a couple of your favorite prospecting activities that produce results?
Mine is literally going back through texts and phone calls and emails and just calling every single person I can find in that, filling up the pipeline, I suppose. But not only people that are, you know, A buyers and sellers, just people I haven't had a conversation. We've tried to do a really good job this year of following our friends, whether it be an engagement or a good news story, just to make sure that we're keeping in touch. And for that, we've been getting a heap load of referrals. So when I say prospecting, doesn't necessarily mean making buyer and seller appointments, but it's getting on the phone and calling absolutely everyone we know. You know, obviously the A buyer seller clients are the ones that we're touching most, but we're digging up business through our old texts, emails, and voicemails for sure.
So it sounds to me like these might be conversations with people who at one point in time put their hand up. They said, hey, you know, show me a home, or hey, what's my home worth? You've gone and you've met with them, but maybe it didn't materialize and they, you know, just they, it grows quiet and you don't talk to them for a while. Yeah. Go ahead.
First and foremost, for sure. Like I said, you know, people that were A prospect or B, but even when scrolling through, oh my gosh, I haven't talked to this person. And you know what? They were telling me about somebody that wanted to buy. And it's actually just getting out of my comfort zone and saying, hey, so-and-so, you mentioned Katie wanted to buy a house. Do you mind if I contact them? So I really just force myself to pick up the phone this year instead of, if I find a text, I'll call them instead of just texting them back. So I'm really, really trying to get on the phone face-to-face and make an appointment. So
do you agree with that concept of like face-to-face is the best, voice-to-voice is next, and then text and email? Like, do you actually see that in the results, that it is always better to get face-to-face or voice-to-voice? Or is that just one of those things that us old school people like to throw around?
No, I absolutely do. A lot of the quick communication, texts and emails to try to at least grab their attention, but then it's phone calls. In fact, I've been getting away from even, I mean, electronic signing obviously is much more efficient, but I've been trying to sit down with clients way more, as much, you know, technology can make things quick, but I just think that slowing down the business right now and making sure we're giving incredible service has been so important to what's coming in my business. So I think that slowing it down and getting in front of people as much as possible has been a huge priority for me.
Now, a lot of us in the business suffer from what I like to call the 50-pound phone syndrome, which is, you know, we stumble across that text message. You know, we're like, oh geez, it's been weeks or heaven forbid months since we spoke with that person. I remember I watched a video, Don Walton said, I should call those people. And then you're about to hit call, but the phone's so heavy. Yeah. Then you text or you go onto Facebook or whatever. What is your lead in? Like, when you call someone out of the blue, what does that look or sound like?
I try to find some common ground of why, you know, if it takes me 2 seconds to look on Facebook and find something that they're doing, something that they're up to, hockey season just started, whatever it is, I just try to find something not home related, not real estate related. And I literally, half the time I stand up from my desk because I'm hoping they're not answering and leaving a voicemail. And then I get excited when they answer the phone or after I hang up, because it never was as hard as you imagined. And it's actually good and they love hearing from you. So I still get that same 100-pound phone syndrome, but I've just been forcing myself, and again, to lead by example too on the team. If I can't sit there and tell everybody else to pick up the phone if I'm not, and it's getting good results for sure.
Okay. I want to talk to you about, you know, what we're talking about right now is sort of uncovering, I'd call it old business versus generating new business. When you look at the second spring, you know, only being a short window of time, 8 to maybe 10 weeks, if we're lucky, how much of your energy is going into trying to tie up the older business, the old contacts, versus go out and generate brand new business?
I think the generating new business is what I meant, as far as, you know, if anything, our spending's down a little bit on our funnels, because right now, you know, that'll set up for January, February, and that's great. But our main focus is for sure our database, getting them in there, getting their info correct, whether we're missing an email address, missing phone numbers. And so I think the biggest focus isn't generating new business so much as taking really good care of the current business and digging up people that already know who we are and want to hear from us. So yeah. I would say probably 10% of the time generating new business and 40% of the time really doing a good job with those low-hanging fruit that's ready to go.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's nice when you have a CRM that you track some of these leads. I understand that you guys are pretty dialed in on that front, but it also sounds to me like things like text messages in your inbox are also a place for you to look.
Yeah, huge. And pieces of paper on my desk and I'm stacks and stacks, honestly, of papers that I just rifle through and I put them on one sheet of paper. And, you know, hopefully most of them are in my database. Many of them aren't. So that's one thing I'm just hammering on, making sure every name goes in the database. And from there we can fill in the blanks, but just making sure we're not losing those good people that should be in there. And literally they're in my car, they're in my truck, they're everywhere.
So it's a bit of a blitz right now. You're basically gathering as many names as you can from the past year or even longer and reaching out and touching base and seeing where it goes.
Yeah, because if we're not, someone else is going to, unfortunately. Everybody else is in front of them as well. And if they weren't already hooked and they're just kind of there on the sidelines, there's a very good chance mm-hmm. they're not as loyal as we hope yet. So we need to get in there.
Yeah, fair enough. Now, I want to ask you a little bit about prioritization in a different sense. So oftentimes we think about the things we should be doing, but I want to ask you, like, are there certain activities or actions in your business that you hold off on during this time? You know, I always like to say, like, doing one thing is also choosing to not do another. So are there certain things in your business right now that you're purposely putting off until the spring or winter or just another period?
I found there was stuff I was putting off in the spring or in the really, really busy months a little bit. But at the same time, I would say no more consistently. I like to do things right across the board. So I don't try to have just winter activities and just spring. And because every single quarter I have one month that stands out from, you know, each of the other 2 months, but I'm busy throughout the year. To get rid of all these humps, I like to do things all the way across the year. Some things I try to make, you know, pay some of the bills up front or get rid of them. So in case, you know, we're making a little bit less throughout the winter, then I don't have that to think about so much. And thankfully, I've taken away a lot of the inconsistencies in my business. But I try to do everything pretty consistently across the year. It's just the type of person I'm communicating with, I think, would change throughout the year. Got to be very careful not to just fall into the business that's just naturally happening because it's busy. So I've been really working hard to actually make sure I'm prospecting all the time now instead of just panicking and doing it after Labor Day.
Yeah, fair enough. Now you have a team and at the same time you operate just in a lot of respects, just like you did when you were an individual agent, which is you're out showing homes, you're out on listing appointments. Mm-hmm. So you're doing a lot of the day-to-day stuff that any licensed realtor will do in addition to your leadership responsibilities. I'm curious when you put on your team leader hat for a moment, and you alluded to this mm-hmm. earlier by talking about you have to model the behavior you're looking for from your team. But can you tell me, when you look at the 8 to 10 week window we have ahead of us, what are your priorities right now as a team leader?
Setting a good example is the big one. You know, being a team leader is certainly a learning curve, and having to adjust and not taking all the business myself is one thing that you really got to let go of control. So I think setting up the team with a little bit of business that is going to give them a little bit of confidence to make those other phone calls to and to close business that maybe they have on their own. So I think maybe giving up some of my A clients that I haven't in the past been used to doing, setting an example by picking up the phone, I think is huge. And that's one thing I've been, even in the past week, really working hard on doing. And just showing up, I am putting in the hours. For me, it's important to show homes as well. I've gotten away from taking as many buyers now. But I like to still be out there, and market knowledge is so important to me. So I think that we've been working hand in hand a lot, and being involved in each other's clients is a really big one right now. So, you know, inventory is still low, but it's starting to come up. but there's still a lot of pockets in our market that are really competitive. So knowing what each other's looking for, knowing whose clients are coming and going, making sure we have some days off between us and coverage so that we're working really hard, but playing hard as well still.
Yeah. Managing the burnout. Yeah. Is there anything you do with your team, whether it's like contests or like, you know, trying like challenges, number of calls, things like that, or, you know, a weekly meeting that you guys get together and talk about like what's going on? Like, how do you hold the focus during this period?
Our team's not massive, so we're all pretty in close communication anyways, but everybody has a role from an admin standpoint. So right now, from the agents, there's just the two of us. Well, there's three of us, but two full-time, you know, so we just are in constant communication every day. I found that we got too heavy into meetings where, you know, I would rather schedule prospecting as opposed to, I don't think we're being effective in our weekly meetings, and that's something we'll work on. How to structure them and when to have them, I think has been, the timing has been a little bit tricky for us, but we're just in constant communication every single day. So as far as contests go, we used to do that a lot. I'm big on that. Right now it's, for me, I know exactly where I'm at for my goals for the rest of the year. I need to sit down with the rest of the team now that I'm organized and just do one kind of last plan and push with them as well. So we don't have any contests. We don't have anything running like that, but we know the end goal. It's just, we haven't had any incentives yet to get there.
Well, before we pivot to the end of the year and setting up the next quarter, is there anything else that you can share with us from your perspective of like, you know, here's, if there's one thing to remember about taking advantage of this second spring or the fall market, whatever you want to call it, this would be it. Like, what advice would you give to someone who's maybe feeling a little unfocused coming out of Labor Day weekend and a fun summer?
It's 100% mindset. I think that attitude is so huge. You can easily be tired with back to school and the kids. I know some people actually are looking forward to having a bit of routine with the kids back in school. You know, I think that for me, it's always been work hard and play hard. So the mindset and the focus to get excited, plan a few small mini things. Like, we've got something planned October, November, December. Of course, we're getting married in December, so we've got some big stuff to look forward to. But I think each month I've planned just a little micro getaway right now. So I know no matter how hard I'm working right now, there's a little, every 3-4 weeks we've got something going. So just all attitude and mindset.
That's awesome. Things that you can control. Okay. Well, let's pivot now from talking about the next 8 to 10 weeks that we have, and then focus on, okay, what are some of the activities you're doing to set up your next year? excuse me. I know that you are a big proponent of goal setting, and as you say, you try to break it down so every month is fairly consistent. Do you mind shedding some light on your goal setting process for us? Like, how do you, is it like one big day you sit down and do it? Is it multiple sessions? Do you guys do it as a team, or do you do them individually? Like, what's that process like for setting your goals for the next year?
I think November is a really great time for us to review what worked, what didn't work, what were some of the challenges, and look forward for the year ahead. So one thing I'm in control of now is what are the decisions we're going to make for the year? How are we not going to get off course? And if we want to add a few things here and there because we need to bend, sure. But we're in control of our marketing plan, of the activities we're going to do. So I think November is the big review of the year. But like I said, we're constantly, instead of resetting every year now, I think we're just constantly reviewing every quarter and seeing what's working. One thing I think we've stopped doing is as many events for clients. So we've made our touch points with our clients more personal, more directly to them, and then a couple bigger events throughout the year that are important in the community, and then a couple micro events. But we were doing a lot of events, and that was hard to get in a good flow and get a consistent rhythm going, and then kind of testing what's working. And so you're spending money on different things. So I think, yeah, November, a big review day. So we, you know, we went to the Longwood pub upstairs and rented the upstairs, and we did kind of a planning session, what worked. Everybody just spit out their ideas for the next year, and then we can literally sit there and just cross them off, what's working, what isn't. For us, we've had changing, and we've added a few new staff too. So there's some exciting new ideas been injected into the team. So we're always open to that. But I think once we set our plan for the year, we can review it every quarter and decide if we're going to go off course. But I think just consistently not resetting is important to us.
Yeah, fair enough. I like that idea that the business plan just continues. We were just talking before we went live about one of my favorite books. I use it all the time in my own business and when I'm coaching, the four disciplines of execution, 4DX. It's super dry, super boring, and super effective. So I definitely recommend that. Or if you prefer a light candy version of that, there's a book called The 12-Week Year. Which is also very powerful because it talks about this whole annualized goal setting thing is just this mindset trap we put ourselves in. It's just constant, continual planning and process, and you're always making little changes as you go. So that's pretty cool to hear you guys do that.
I think the one thing that I struggle with is in January when I reset to zero, it was like, how am I going to accomplish all that all over again? So I've gotten away from that.
Where are people going to come from?
It's true, but I'd be really worried about it. And then I'd go, well, I can't take time off in January. I got to get going again. And so instead of that, technically the calendar resets and the paycheck goes back to zero on line one and all the rest of it. But I think that I've gotten away from that so much is to constantly be just throughout the year planning and getting so hung up on that.
And helping people. I have yet to see a month where zero homes have sold. Have you?
No.
That's awesome. Now, you talk a lot about, work hard, play hard, and it seems like that must be one of the values in your team and in your business. So can you talk to me a little bit about how you balance that? So, we have, again, this 8 to 10 week period. I'm sorry for those, the 15 people currently watching that we keep hammering home that point, but it's really, I want to impress upon you that there's an incredible opportunity if you act now. How do you balance that out? So you talked about having some micro time off. Can you let us know, what does that look like for you? How do you manage your burnout?
We don't typically take a ton of days off in the business. And I think for our families and ourselves, I think it's important, and I've really been working hard now. And I think it's important within the team that everybody does that. And, I can say that all day long, and it's not a perfect science, that's for sure. But I've tried to plan something once a month now. So whether it be 2 nights, 2 days, take the kids, not take the kids, but just something to look forward to that, and try to take a day off. And my clients, I got this from you, and my clients have actually been pretty excited to say, and I take Sundays with my family, and they go, of course you do, like it's normal, but then they text you every 5 minutes on Sunday. So it's hard to manage it, but having more than just me has helped that. So I've been really training my clients when I meet them. If it's not me, it's going to be Casey. And for the same thing for him, if he's not available, I'm there. So I think having that tag team is so important, whether you're on a team or not, to have somebody to cover you to be able to do that. And so for me, I just pedal to the metal and less time wasting. When I'm working, I got a new phone and I didn't have Facebook on my phone for a week, and it was probably the best time saver I've had. So I wasn't constantly just checking one thing here and there. So I'm really focused in what I'm doing.
Hold on a second. How do you watch the Vancouver Island Real Estate Show then?
I scrambled to find a new password to scrambled to reset up a new Facebook account today for us.
Oh, man.
I think that just making lists, I'm a big paper person, whether it be on your phone or paper, and making sure I get my checklist done, doing the things that I don't want to do first, eat that frog. You showed me that book years and years ago. I think I've just been forcing myself to do it, and it gets easier and easier every day.
And I'm curious, what is that frog? What's that one thing that you just got to get it out of the way so that everything else is better throughout the day? What is that for you?
Honestly, it's picking up the phone. Half of them, it's been 3 days, 4 days. It just gets worse and worse, and it's eating you. And then you go, oh my God, just pick up the darn phone. And you do, and it wasn't that bad. And then, okay, fine. I'm just going to phone the other three people I should have phoned. So, the little details don't seem to matter if you can just talk to people face to face. And then if there's no miscommunications, there's no,
It sounds to me like whether it's someone that you haven't spoken with in 3 days, 3 weeks, or 3 months, your experience and your advice to the viewers is just do it. And often people are really happy to hear from you.
Yeah. And honestly, one of the things we did this year is we started asking people how they'd prefer to be communicated with. So we write down in their file or put right in the database, they prefer text. And so we text them every single day, and they go, well, I haven't heard from you for 3 weeks. Okay, well, have texted you every day at your request, but they still, no matter how much they say they don't want to be on the phone, they say they want these instant communications, they always want and appreciate hearing your voice.
That is comforting for me because I was just listening to a podcast this morning talking about AI and you know, how the robots are going to take over and all of that. And I think there's always going to be a human element, at least for the foreseeable future in our industry. So, okay, we're going to wrap things up here. We've got a number of people watching here. Thank you so much for your commentary and your feedback as you go. Here's your chance to ask Dawn a question if you have one. So whether it's about the market, her fall strategy, where she gets her Argyle vests. I mean, you name the question and we'll answer them. That's, you're shaking your head. No, that's a secret. Dar makes them for you, doesn't
she? Trade secret, yeah. Every trade day, secret. Yeah.
Okay. Dawn, I got a question for you. So like the context of our discussion today has been stemming around, you've been in business for a long time or at least a year, and you've picked up all these leads and contacts along the way, and maybe, you know, they were not hot opportunities at the time, so they kind of fallen through the cracks, and now we're refocusing, re-engaging with those people and building our next 8 to 10 weeks sales results from that. But let's just talk about the person who just got their real estate license, you know, someone who doesn't have a long list of leads behind them. If you were to hit the reset button today and you didn't come into this business with a lot of different contacts, like what would you be doing right now in September, October, November to try to generate new business?
Honestly, I wouldn't change a thing because it turns out what I did worked. I wasn't from here. I didn't know anybody. I'd only been here a few years, and through sports, because that happened to be what I love doing, I just started getting in front of people and adding people to my database. I used to try to give out 10 business cards a day, which isn't easy to do without throwing them out your window and hoping they land on someone else's dash. But I think that just building your database is so important, whether it's a spreadsheet, a piece of paper, just add people, because no matter who you're talking to, they may not be ready to buy or sell, but they love to talk about it, and they always have a friend who may not know 10 realtors. And I built all my business through sports and referrals. I didn't know anybody when I was here, and I just kept talking to people and doing things I liked. So I wouldn't go, open houses have never been my thing. It's always been, you know, playing ball for the weekend, and I can stand around the room and look at every single field, and I've done business with people on each field. And, you know, I'd rather be in my cleats running around the field talking to people as opposed to sitting in a house, but that's just my business model, but it's something I like to do. So I was comfortable there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't think we need to always make ourselves uncomfortable.
That's an interesting observation. Yeah, no, I hear what you're saying. I like to say that you're the closest I know to a paid professional athlete because you seem to generate a lot of income from playing sports.
This is true.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, Dawn, I appreciate your time. I'm proud to call you a colleague. I'm proud to be a friend of yours, and I'm really happy that you're on today sharing some of your insight with us. If anyone wanted to reach out to you to pick your brain or run a marketing idea by you or perhaps send you a referral, what's the best way for them to do that?
Oh, anytime. Sell, call, text, email. I'm Dawn at DawnWalton.com. I'm always available. Happy to help.
Awesome. Well, Dawn, I appreciate your time. Thank you so much. And we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks for having me. All right. My
pleasure.
Bye.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
All right. There you go. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for your attention. Thanks so much for your engagement. I really appreciate it. Dawn is a fantastic realtor. If you haven't had a chance to pick her brain, I would highly encourage you to do that. She's definitely, like many of the agents that I'm lucky to work with, has a growth abundance mindset. Even if you're in her same market area, I know she'd be willing to give you the time of day. So thank you, Dawn. I appreciate it. Next couple weeks, there's still a number of balls in the air. I apparently am a little rusty on my administrative producer skills. So I don't have anything locked down for next week yet, but I do have a few balls in the air, including somebody who's going to be talking about artificial intelligence and how they have a AI chatbot that can help you convert leads. I've also got a few contacts that I'm looking to bring on to talk about the recent Supreme Court ruling that's happening that happened in Ontario, where they're talking about publishing sold data on websites so the consumers can see that. So I've got a few irons in the fire there. I'm looking forward to bringing to you guys very, very soon. Of course, if you have ideas, questions, things that you want to hear on the show, please reach out. Let me know. I'm just really here to serve you guys. So with all that being said, I appreciate your time and have a great start to your second spring. Bye for now.